It is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal. In our center studio, we have Cynthia Hoswinder. Good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning, and I think Anne is on her way if her driveway is not too icy, which is kind of steep and perilous.
We'll
see what happens.
We'll expect to see Anne come through the back door anytime now. And if she doesn't,
we'll carry on.
That's
Janet,
exactly
we'll take
right.
Care.
Well, we'll start off, I'm sorry, Cynthia, with Janet first, because I want to go right to the top, right under the masthead. You have reasons to celebrate at the Lakeville Journal, where you've raised enough money to look forward and to move into the next year.
Right. That is, we didn't know how this would go, but we have received great support, and it does give us hope that we can move not only into the next year, but forward. So do read that editorial and keep in touch with us, and we will let you know what's going on, but we're moving forward.
You know, it's interesting. You also have a story about a holiday wish list from nonprofits. Willie Hallahan did one with Sporting a Cause.
Yes.
And he said, Marshall, if somebody donated $25 or $50 randomly, what would you use it for? And I said, well, there's a bunch of things we would use it for. We would use it to put into a fund that would go to fix equipment. And we would also put it into funds for programming. I mean, so.
Right. And those are such, obvious choices. And this is what keeps you going. And without those funds, those are the basic services, the basic resource you provide for our communities. And that's what you need to move forward, and that's what all of us do need.
And I like this holiday wish list that goes from various nonprofits.
Yeah.
So, what are you guys whispering? What are you guys whispering?
Anne did
there?
Not have compass, so she came to get it from
Hi.
Me.
And I got her a little dumb Christmas present that she doesn't need because she has a ton of them.
Okay. All right. Well, with that being said, let's go over to the next story, which is SVNA. I do interviews with them all the time. And it's amazing how they've grown and how they've had to grow, and now they've moved.
It's one of those organizations that you don't really think about until you need them. And as with the fire company, the ambulance, and the SVNA, Salisbury Visiting Nurse, when you've got somebody in your family who's ill, you realize, like, wow, they make your life so much better. And Megan Plouffe, who many of us know as Megan Kenny, who many of us have known since she was a very young girl, is now the director of home care, and she's doing a phenomenal job. And this interview by Deborah Alexinas is with Megan. And she said, you know, the needs tripled just in the short time that that Megan has been with the organization. And, of course, as we all know, we do have an aging population here and of greater need. But certainly, you know, people of all ages all benefit from it. So they're moving to two additional locations. One is in Lakeville, right on Main Street, where the White Gallery used to be, and one is up in Massachusetts.
All right. Now, you've got a little story about how your internet sites are down temporarily, and all I can say is I feel for you, because about a year and a half ago, our podcast site, our on-demand site, which had files from every program we've ever done put up there, completely destroyed itself and was gone.
Yeah.
And we had to rebuild the podcast site from scratch, and finding the old shows. It took about a month and a month and a half of work, 10, 15 hours a day to do it.
In addition to your normal work.
In addition to the normal work. So, people have to understand companies like the Lakeville Journal and Robin Hood Radio don't have big technical IT departments.
No, and we don't have a lot of money to keep
putting
into things like websites and podcast sites, because so our plan had, we knew our website was old and that the software was certainly not only not up to date, but actually incompatible with many of the modern things. So we were trying to make it last until January, February of 2020. So that would be a slower time for us to be able to deal with it, because, as you say, you know, this is in-house stuff, and we have our production manager, James Clark, working on it, and he works with our guy down in Florida who does it, and it's a challenge. So we're doing the best we can, but in the meantime, we have this week's papers up there for all to see, so there is an online presence, and buy the paper on the stand.
Okay.
I remember one time the New York Times website crashed, and they posted a really funny tweet, and they said, "We know that our website is down, but as a favor to all of you, we also printed it."
That's right.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go over to another story. This one by Patrick Sullivan, concerns about an added layer of training for first responders.
Henry Todd, who is first selectman in Falls Village and is always thinking, a very interesting conceptual person as well as a practical get-stuff-done kind of a guy, has talked about additional what they're calling mental health training for first responders, which is when you've got somebody that's having an episode, which does, you know, if you read the police blotter, you know that this does happen, that you have people who are in situations where they're not fully themselves, shall we say. And I actually took their first responder mental health class. They were offering it free at Sharon Hospital. It was very interesting. But the class that they're offering now is, you know, the first responders have to pay for it. And Coulter Rule had actually said to Johanna Hayes about a month ago when she was in Falls Village that these volunteers are already giving up so much to be fire and ambulance volunteers. And it would be great if the federal government or the state government would help pay for some of their training. And I do feel like that would be a worthy thing. But so that's essentially Henry's pitch as well to the Council of Governments.
All right. Delilah, you got a picture of Delilah there.
This is Ann Day's favorite story.
Hey, and I see why.
Yes, beautiful cow. And how did you meet this cow?
I met the daughter-in-law of the cow owner, and she explained to me that this cow was had just won some prize. Can you not hear me?
We fixed it. Sorry.
Oh, sorry. And I what's the exact number, Cynthia?
She's been two-time supreme champion.
Yes, but also her value is what I was so impressed by.
Well, you just have to read the article to find that out.
It's about $225,000.
Yeah, that's a good cow. Yeah, $210,000. So, yeah, and Anne took a beautiful photo for us, and there she is over in Copaic.
All right, now
we covered this in Millerton, too.
Yeah, you also have a story there about the vigil on the green, remembering Sandy Hook.
Yes, actually, Ann Day was driving by and saw an event that we always try to promote. Lee and Sophia DeBoer have organized this for many years. They have a personal reason why they feel that there needs to be better gun control. And a good turnout at the vigil in the cold, in the rain, on the White Hart. So an important message we're sharing.
Alice Gustafson doesn't look 100.
Yeah.
She doesn't act either. She's amazing.
She just doesn't. It's amazing. Well,
and, you know, I said to Alexander, who does this page, you know, we've got so many incredible people now who are over 100 and actually can go out and have a party and have a conversation with you. So we've started the Century Club, but the Century Club is growing. And welcome to Alice Gustafson, to the Century Club.
I like to picture a track watch also.
You know, and you can't quite see in the photo clearly, but the weird thing is not that they're perfectly spaced tracks, but that they're perfectly spaced half tracks that meet in the center and they're symmetrical. That's the, because you could sort of see somebody making, you know, cross-country ski tracks or something, but so we're not quite sure how they got them to be exactly perfectly symmetrical and evenly spaced.
You know, years ago when I used to be a traffic reporter in Kingston, New York in the wintertime, It would be great. We would ask people to go out and do things like that, make designs in the snow. And it's amazing how many people, young and adult, would find a field and then they'd let us know so that we'd fly over and take a picture of it. People love to do things like this.
Like the Tour de France.
All right. Now we'll move on to the Cornwall Salisbury page, and that is, first of all, we'll start off with Zumba.
Zumba, you know, you have to read the story because PJ is just so funny, and you have to, like, to get PJ, you have to sort of get the full introduction to him. But PJ is extraordinary and is teaching Zumba at Noble Horizons, and if you think you can't do it, then you can read this article and find out why, in fact, yes, you can.
Nice picture of Santa in West Cornwall, but Santa, it looks like he's been on a diet.
Santa looks very relaxed and chill and having a very nice chat with that baby. And we were so lucky to get this photo from Laszlo Gyorsik, another generous photographer. And then another generous photograph from Ann Day of Alan and Robin Cockerline at Whippoorwill Farm. We're continuing. This is our last issue, of course, of holiday gifts for the 2019 season. Buy some meat and bacon.
And the story down below, we can't forget seeking solutions for the China Inn.
This has been a huge big deal in Salisbury and Lakeville, which is the China Inn, which has been closed for years now and has really fallen into disrepair and sort of toward the end of their business life was doing some stuff that was maybe I think that made some of the neighbors uncomfortable. So the town is looking at buying that space. There's some, you know, there's a lot of odd regulations in the village of Lakeville that have kept businesses from really thriving, or a couple of new business ideas. And so there is an idea somebody had for doing affordable housing there. They're trying to organize it so that that can come to life.
Well, they did all that zoning change so it could be done now. So we'll see what happens. You know, it's interesting. The first part of that story is that the sewer pumping station is $232,000. Over cost,
which is very unusual around here. They're usually so careful with these projects, and you know, Curtis ran the first selectman in Salisbury, is a super experienced project person, but sometimes stuff just happens. It's like with the house, you never know when you open up the floor what's going to be under there.
All right, nice inside scoop how the world of banking has changed in the half century. There's Don Mayland.
Right, we're doing a new series of columns called Inside Scoop, where we do a profile of a person who has some interesting insight into something that's happening. Don is retiring after 41 years on the board of directors for Litchfield Bancorp, 26 as chairman, which is extraordinary. And, of course, former board of finance person, Hotchkiss economics professor, and selectman now.
Your story, Cynthia, angry Kent residents oppose a plan for a new cell phone tower.
I do feel like I spend much of my time either at meetings where people are very keen to get improved broadband, cell phone, internet, or where people are saying they really don't want to have it. And that, I would say this meeting was one of the ones where people really very strongly felt they do not want this new tower from AT&T to be built. A couple of the town's first responders spoke up and said, you know, the area that's not getting covered is one of the most dangerous areas in town. There have been a lot of motorcycle crashes there, at least one fatal. And two people who live on the road said, you know, we're often going out and helping people to try and get aid because they'll crash, especially in winter, on that icy strip, and there's no cell service to call for help. So this will continue to go on probably for another couple of years. They're going to go to the Siting Council in early 2020.
All right. And expenditures were approved at the Sharon Town meeting for the improvements at Sharon Ridge and also the purchase of a new truck.
Yeah, there's been concerns about the heating, ventilation, air cooling at Sharon Ridge since they built those new units, so it would appear that that's being fixed.
All right. You know, when I first turned the page and I saw page A5, I was wondering what it was about. But it's a great story on the music program at Housatonic Valley Regional High School.
Which is a great music program, and really big. When you see the list of students that participate in it at a pretty small school, it feels like almost every kid is in that, and you know that they're also all in sports, so really quite an extraordinary population there.
And Great Falls Brewery, 1 year now.
I'm so thrilled. I know. I love the photo so Willie took this great photo, Willie Yon, and it's got the mannequin head in the back with the hat on it. It's just every time I look at that, I feel like there's somebody creeping up to the table to look at the cupcakes. But so the Great Falls Brewery, one of the great success stories in North Canaan, they work really hard to have lots and lots of events. Everybody I know has gone. I don't really drink beer, so I haven't gone, but I know it's in my future.
But they make root beer there. They make their own root beer, so you don't have to drink
root beer either.
There you can have.
Too much sugar.
You can load yourself with sugar.
There you go. But I'll go for the fun.
The boarding house hearing is coming up December 30th.
That's a big deal in North Canaan where it's, again, you know, one thing you learn working at a small-town newspaper is there are two sides, and the two sides always have a legitimate interest. And one is the former resident state trooper, I think it was Greg Naylor, had said there are a lot of these sober houses being thrown up, and there's no way to regulate them. And people were taking sort of not in very good shape houses and just throwing up a bunch of temporary walls and then letting people who were coming out of Mountainside live in them, and there was no supervision. So he said that's got to change. So there's a lot of complexity on it, and a lot of people in town were like, well, you know, I've got my kids living with me and they've got their kids, and technically we're a boarding house, so they're looking at ways to change that regulation and make it possible to make the town a little safer.
Now you've got regional gifts, bubbly. I want to mention, let me turn this back, I do want to plug you can learn to curl, the Norfolk Curling Club, January 4th. It's always a big event. You get a lot of people that show up.
Well, and Falls Village Recreation, I'm not sure that they want a ton of other people coming because it is a small, it's a limited program, but the brief is on there. But also coming up January 23rd to the 26th is one of the big bond spiels up in Norfolk, and those are really fun to watch. And John Barbagallo, who is our public information officer for a lot of the local fire companies, just did a historic 8-ender, which maybe we'll explain in a future issue.
All right. Bubbly gifts now. Parties and bubbly gifts. Gifts for the holidays.
It's time. Pop a cork. I'm Kaylin Olinger, who's just an expert on spirits of all kinds. A good explanation of some local stores and what they've got and what she recommends if you're going to a party.
And Divya Simmers with the museum stores and what you can get there for holiday gifts.
You know, it's a very innovative idea, actually, and Divya is always thinking. So lots of local museums, a nice way to support them, but also nice, unexpected, often really wonderful gifts.
I want to go to Tangled Lines with Patrick Sullivan because the greatest gifts that were ever given to me years ago were my yak tracks that I had.
Yeah. A day like today, I'm telling you, I wish I had some.
God, it's a godsend. So I can understand a fisherman would want to get the spikes for themselves as well.
We should start calling this column Hacked Lines because Patrick is always hacking stuff that you could get at Orvis for $500, but instead he makes it himself. And so he's figured out a way to get these special screws and you screw them into your fishing boots. And he's finally explaining how to do it here in his column. And also Ian Strever, the principal of our local high school, is a super funny writer and a very dedicated cyclist. And so he did a story for us. It's very lengthy, in which he parodies Eben Weiss and talks about all the different types of anthropological cyclists you can find out there. But a really great information on cycling gifts. And somebody said to me, well, who cycles in winter? And it's just like fishing or gardening. People who aren't cycling right now are thinking about it deeply.
You know, I first heard about the Trixie Strauss bird count from Marshall Case when he was the head of Sharon
Audubon.
It's a
big deal.
It is a big deal. And the eagles were the bird that really soared this year.
Yes, they had a ton of them. Deborah Alexinas volunteered to go. She has such a good time. Anybody who can take part in the bird count, even Ann Day, who can see the birds in her yard, you just phone them up and you tell them what you saw in a set-aside period, which this year was December 15th. People go out at the crack of dawn. Deb lists all the many interesting birds they saw. Every year, this gives a census of what birds are here and what's not. It gives us a sense of what our climate is doing and what food is available for local birds.
All right. On the editorial page, we'll start off, first of all, with your editorial, which we talked briefly about, Janet, about a turning point for the journal.
Right. This is the time when we knew we would be evaluating what we would be doing going into next year, depending on how our membership model went. And we've got to say it went better than we ever imagined up to this point. We still need more to make it through the entire year, but we feel great hope. And we do feel that it gives us the impetus to think about going and applying for nonprofit status and joining, you know, so many other entities in this area that are so important to the communities that are nonprofit. And, we'll see how this goes, but we'll keep everyone informed. Please do take a read on it and read the rest of our viewpoint pages, too.
All right. Press, politics, public equal impeachment, Mark Godburn's column.
Right. Mark writes about the process and what he thinks is wrong with it. So give that a read and let us know if you agree or disagree. We always invite all voices to our pages and will continue to do so into the new year. So anyone who would like to write about anything, by all means, contact me. We have a letter from Jeff Brown on the value of local journalism. It's pretty interesting. He talks about the way he uses the archives of newspapers as a historian, and that's something people don't always talk about, but it holds great value for the history of the area.
All right, turning back to pages, the lake froze over last night for the first time this winter. I love that. Short but sweet.
Yeah, 1919. That's pretty early.
And you can't get into a political argument about that. The damn lake froze over. That's it.
That's it. You can argue, but there it is, frozen over.
On your viewpoint page, though, you've got Lisa Wright or Richard Kesson, and also another letter to the other about what volunteers can do.
That's right. Lisa Wright is concerned with the U.S. Supreme Court hearing arguments on discrimination against LGBTQ plus Americans. And it's an important issue, and please do let us know what you think about that, too. Rich Kesson about measles, which we didn't think, you know, 30 years ago we'd be talking about again, but here we are, and it's a serious issue that he's given a lot of research to, so inform yourself on that. And Mike Duca gives us a smile for the holidays, inspiration after repairs, and he's talking about his car.
All right. And, of course, before we get to Compass, there is a full Tri-Corner real estate section also in the paper this week.
There is. As you're having the holidays in your house and you're thinking, maybe for next year we want a different place to do this, by all means, read through Tri-Corner Real Estate. It's so interesting always, whether you're on the market to buy or sell or not, to see what's up for sale in our area.
All right. Now let us go to Compass. I like the picture on the front page.
Oh, thank you. That is A Christmas Story by Stephanie Coven, and I'm not going to tell you about it because it's a lovely story, and you'll have to read it. And then we also have on the front page a picture of Heidi Hendricks and Rafe Churchill, and they've just won the Stanford White Award, which is a very prestigious award given by the Institute for Classical Architecture and Art. And they won it for that enormous house that you can see from everywhere on Amenia Union Road. As you're heading towards Sharon, it's up on the left. It's a big white house, and it's a sort of a perfect Greek Revival classical house. And I think when it gets landscaped, it might be a little bit less obvious, but you can see it from everywhere. We also have this tomorrow night at the movie house in Millerton at 6:20. Bombshell is opening, the movie about the two newscasters who sued Fox News and Roger Ailes for sexual harassment. And we have Charlize Theron, Nicole Kidman, and Margot Robbie, who are just perfect. You have to see the photograph. So perfect as those Fox News blonde bombshells. And there's Alexander Wilburn does an interview with the screenwriter, which is brilliant. The guy's really, really smart. And he talks about Megyn Kelly and brings up a point that I hadn't really thought about. And he says that Megyn is a great example of the bystander problem. So she was harassed. She solved her problem. She ended up getting along well with her harasser and was very successful, but she watched him harass other people and did nothing about it. And that's sort of why, sorry, but her career's in the toilet right now.
And Charles Randolph lives in Millerton.
Oh, yes. And then we also have, by Caitlin Olinger, we have a recipe and a story about a New Year's Day tradition in the South called Hoppin' John. It's basically black-eyed peas and collard greens and that you cook with a ham hock or a slab of bacon. I like any recipe that calls for a slab of bacon.
So, well, I make bean soup that not only has ham hock, but bacon. It's got to have bacon along with the ham hock.
there's no recipe that's not improved by bacon.
I'm going to try this recipe because I like bean soupy type of recipes.
Yeah, I think you'll like it. And then we also, I've been thinking about mushrooms a lot because everybody keeps talking about them. First, there was the Michael Pollan book last year. Then there was that movie called Fantastic Fungi. 60 Minutes did a piece about doctors are using mushrooms for all kinds of things like curing addiction and smoking cessation. So Cynthia Kling, who writes about gardens and nature, did a beautiful story about how this was the year of the mushroom. And there's a book that she reads about a woman who solves her husband died of a heart attack, and she has terrible grief. And she's a Norwegian anthropologist named Lit Woon Long. But anyway, she wrote a memoir about hunting for mushrooms and how it helped her in her grief.
All right. I had a decade of the mushrooms back in the 70s, but that's a different
well,
story.
Well, it's not that different, though, Marshall. The mushrooms that people – the problem is that it got a lot of bad press because – people like Timothy Leary were turning it into a counterculture activity, yeah. But the scientists were studying them at the same time as cures for depression and addiction and things like that. And now they're able to do their studying with a little bit more respect.
All right, I want to go on to the movie because David Sterrett on Films in Focus talked about Marriage Story a couple of weeks ago.
Did he like it?
I didn't see it, but I'm going to see it.
No, did he like it?
Yes, he liked it. It wasn't. He said it wasn't an outstanding movie, but the actors were terrific in it, and the storyline is a decent storyline. Yeah, it was good. It was a good movie. Yeah.
I've heard good things about it. Sophia Kaufman likes it with some reservations. But the important thing is that it's on Netflix, streaming on Netflix. So on a cold night like tonight, you don't have to go out to the movie theater. And I don't think it's, it's not at the movie house.
It was, yes.
And then we have calendar with lots of different fabulous events. Right. And how much more time do we have?
About 15 seconds.
Okay. Well, we have a fabulous, this is a packed compass. Everybody should read it.
And Janet, do you want to talk about the schedule for next
week? All right, that's the whole thing, because you guys aren't in next week. Because why, Janet?
Because we do a shutdown week at the end of the year. So we have a double issue this week, and it is pretty packed with Compass and Tri-Corner, as well as everything that's in the newspapers. And so take your time and read through all of it until January 2nd, when we will once again publish. Deadlines are for advertising Thursday of this week at noon. So that's today. So please do get in touch with our ad reps here at the Lakeville Journal if you would like to do any ads for this week.
All right, and I want to remind everybody that the menorah will be lit in Sharon on Sunday the 22nd, and I want to wish you guys a Merry Christmas, a Happy Hanukkah, and happy holidays.
You too.
Happy holidays.
And we'll speak to you next year.
January 2nd, yep.
All right, take care, guys.
Thanks, bye-bye.
Happy New Year.
That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal here on Robin Hood Radio, at tricornernews.com, on Facebook and Instagram.